are listening to the Devils Talking Padres podcast for East Village Times, coming to you from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Here are your hosts, Dominic Stern and Bobby Murphy.
All right, welcome into Devils Talking Padres. Bobby and I are here. It's a much more happy episode after the Padres just got swept by the Colorado Rockies on the last episode. They now brought in the red hot Cincinnati Reds to town in front of full capacity Petco Park. Let me tell you, it was electric. What you're hearing from the announcers, what you're seeing from everything, it was true. And the Padres swept the red hot Reds, who entered the series with six straight wins. Bobby, I know you couldn't make any of the games, but what did it look like on TV and how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dom. Just very excited for the series. And it was just so fun to watch. And we're finally in a good mood. Padres totally needed this going into the Dodgers series. And oh my goodness, it was just so fun to watch each and every single game. Of course, a four-game sweep is never easy. And against the Reds, who won six in a row coming in, I mean, that Kim home run, the Hosmer home run, those were awesome. I wish I could have been there. My parents were there. I know you were. We had a bunch of friends there. But it was just electric at the park, as you said. And just every single game this series. I mean, Kim, we saw a bunch of exciting games, some blowout games. And then just some late inning magic by the San Diego Padres. The comeback kids, saw a lot of those last year, led the league in comeback wins, of course. But just so fun to watch these games, this series, and glad to see what Padres are winning.
Yeah, it was just awesome down there at Petco. And it's really good to see because, I mean, Padres fans, of course, haven't had a ton of cheer for. Obviously, the past 2 years have been different. But to see it out in full force, and, I mean, I've just been talking with some of my friends, and there's time out like how lame Padres games have been to go to and how opposing fans just run the stadium. But I mean, the Reds fans, very few and far between at this series. It was all Padres fans. It was loud. It was fun. It was energetic. And we'll see how many Dodger fans are there at this upcoming series, but it's going to be entertaining. So let's talk about this past series with the Reds. Padres, they opened it up with a 6-4 win in a really just absolutely a thrilling game. Before the game, I mean, there were the entire lower deck and most of the second deck was full 30 minutes before first pitch. It was just awesome. You could feel the excitement at the stadium. And it was a pretty quiet game. Joe Musgrove, 7 innings scoreless. He was fantastic. The Padres waited until the 6th inning to get on the scoreboard when Fernando Tatis Jr. homered off Wade Miley. And then in the 7th inning, Manny Machado hit a home run off Wade Miley. Those were the only two runs the Padres got in the first 8 innings. They had an opportunity to score in the 8th inning, but they kind of squandered it. And then the 9th inning, the Reds, they attacked Mark Melancon. They did a very good job against him. They were able to strike across 2 runs to tie the game up. And then Jonathan India, their young former first-round draft pick, he hit a home run to left field to give the Reds a 4-2 lead. And at that point, Petco was just in shock. I mean, the Padres were either tied in control of the game the entire time, and then all of a sudden they were losing. But no fight in the Padres. Eric Hosmer hits a game-tying 2-run home run. And then Victor Caratini, 2 batters later, hits a walk-off 2-run home run to win the game 6-4 for the Padres. It was electric. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, of course, just getting totally shut down the first 6 innings and not getting our first hit until that Tatis home run. And then we saw, of course, the Machado one in the 7th, but the late inning comeback. I mean, it must have been so loud there on that Tatis home run. I can't even imagine. My brother, I think it was that game. He was at the Kim home run game. But it just must have been so loud on that home run, of course. Tatis breaking up the no-hitter and giving us the lead. But Miley had a great start. So did Musgrove as well. They both went 7 innings. And they each allowed 4 hits. Musgrove, no runs, obviously. But into the 9th inning, I mean, we've seen Mark Melancon be amazing all year. And, I mean, he just really struggled in this 9th inning, allowing those 4 runs. I mean, just getting Machado on base and then Hosmer to tie it. I mean, that was huge confidence boost for him right there. He really needed that. And then Cronenworth single to center. That was awesome just to keep it going. Of course, there was, I believe, 1 out there. And then Caratini ending it. That was so cool to watch. I was sitting on my couch screaming. I was on the recap for this game. So, of course, you know how it is. I hadn't have done one in a while, but had to change a lot. Few times, but it was just electric in the park. He listened to it on TV. The broadcast was awesome, as always. And it was just a huge win for the Padres to start off the series.
Yeah, that game is never a fun recap to write just because you have it all typed up for the eighth inning and then you have to delete it all and then you start to type about how the Padres blew it and then you delete that part and then you really talk about something else. So yes, not a fun recap to write, but I promise you it's a lot more fun when you're writing it because the Padres overcome it. So certainly it was a good recap and you can read all of our stories and other stories as such on EastVillageTimes.com as Devils Talking Padres is in East Village Times podcast. So that was the result from game one. Game two was a very explosive game from the Padres offense. They started off strong. The first inning, Tommy Pham led off with a leadoff home run. And the second inning, Will Myers struck a two-run home run to make the lead 2-0. The Reds struck back in the third, but the Padres answered as Manny Machado hit a sac fly, but it was really just an atom ball to center field that he just crushed, and Tyler Naquin ran it down. In the fourth inning, the Reds responded again. That was the last run they would get as that made the score 3-2. Will Myers hit his second home run of the game out to deep left center field into the Padres bullpen. And Fernando Tatis Jr. drove in a run later to make the score 5-2. And then in the seventh and the eighth inning, the Padres added on two more runs. Very explosive performance from the Padres offense. And you look at the starters from the Padres offense in this game, it was super great. Pham, home run in the leadoff spot. Tatis, a double and a single. Grisham hit a double later in the game. Manny hit the tar off the ball, including a double. Eric Hosmer was robbed of a home run earlier in the game. Will Myers hit two home runs and another double. Jake Cronenworth hit a double, and Victor Caratini walked three times. Those were the eight starters for the Padres. Six of them tallied an extra base hit. A couple of them tallied multiple. Eric Hosmer was a couple of inches away from tallying one of his own, which would have been an opposite field home run. And Victor Caratini walked three times, so he didn't really have a ton of opportunities to get those extra base hits. So very good offensive performance. Very good start from Chris Paddock. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just all that, of course, the extra base hits in this game. We had seven total. And two of these guys, Pham, he had a great game, 2-for-4, two runs. Game before that, he went 0-for-4 with three Ks. Myers, two home runs, 3-for-4. Game before that, 0-for-4 with two Ks. They both bounced back huge in this game. And of course, everyone pretty much getting extra base hits, and even not Caratini, three walks, he was still getting on base, of course. Weird thing is we were 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. But whenever we'd get extra base hits, we just hit them in with singles or some way to get them in. But sac fly, that was a good one for Manny Machado. That was deep. But I mean, Paddock was absolutely phenomenal in this game. His stuff looked awesome. Five innings, 11 Ks, six hits, but only allowing two runs. But those 11 Ks, his stuff looked amazing. And then the bullpen was was amazing as well. Hill, Stammen, Pagan, and Adams. No hits allowed in four innings by those guys from the sixth to the ninth. Only one base runner. It was a Stammen walk. So they looked great. Adams had two strikeouts, his typical one inning, two strikeout get appearance, but he looked great. Pagan struck out a guy in one inning. But pitching was great. Bullpen was great. And just the lineup. I mean, we're just hitting the ball hard. And a lot of times we hit the ball hard, we get unlucky, but it was awesome today. It was awesome in game two. But the Reds, I mean, we just totally shut them down. India went 0-for-3. Tucker Barnhart had a golden sombrero 0-for-4 with 4Ks. But just a fun game to watch. And the bats were back.
Yeah, really exciting game to watch. And this was the game where the Padres offense, I felt, really came back because they struggled for the first five innings against Wade Miley. And then obviously exploded late with four home runs. But you really saw the offense come back in game two. Game three, the Padres won 7-5, opted to go with a bullpen game so they could push the rotation back to set up the teeth of the rotation for the Dodgers. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But bullpen game started off very poorly. Miguel Diaz got the start for the Padres, and in two innings, he allowed two runs. It didn't look all that great. His first inning, you know, you're pitching against the top of the Reds order. They're obviously very talented with that really good lineup, and the top of the order was fine, but his second inning just wasn't very good at all. And was glad to see that he only pitched two innings. He's definitely struggled as of late. In the third inning, the Padres turned the ball over to Daniel Camarena, Cathedral Catholic graduate, and he started off well. His first two innings, he set the Reds down, didn't allow any runs. And then while he was out there, The Padres put in 5 runs of support for him. The first 2 came on a Jake Cronenworth missile out to right field. And in the 4th inning, there's 2 outs. Tommy Pham doubled. Then Tatis and Cronenworth both walk to bring up Machado. The entire crowd was on their feet, chanting Manny. And first pitch, he just roped the ball in the left field for a double that cleared the bases. But the Padres, they sent out Camarena for a 3rd inning. Wasn't a great idea. He allowed 3 base runners to get on base. All 3 of them came around to score as James Norwood couldn't come in and close it out for Camarena. So by the end of that half inning, the Reds had tied it up at 5-5. But the worst part about that inning was that Fernando Tatis Jr. dove for a ground ball to try and stop it. But he didn't get there. And even worse, he hurt his shoulder again, had to leave the game. We'll have an update for you later in this podcast on Fernando Tatis Jr. No one scored, did anything until the 8th. Nabil Crismat came in relief in the 6th inning, tied 5-5. He left in the 8th inning, tied 5-5. He got the win when Ha Sung Kim came in and had one of the best at-bats for the Padres all year. Hit a 2-run bomb on a 2-strike count, and it was crushed. The stadium went absolutely berserk. It was just so awesome, and it was good to see him come through. He's been doing well lately, but we hadn't seen him hit any home runs as of late. But that ball was just hammered out to deep left, and it was pretty awesome to see. Mark Melanson came in and got the save in the 9th, but Nabil Crismat, in my opinion, was the team's MVP in this game. 3 innings, 3 strikeouts, 27 pitches, 21 strikes, ERA down to 2.76. What were your thoughts on this game? Because this game was awesome.
Yeah, and this was another game where I just wish I was there, not stuck in Arizona. I'll be back soon. We'll talk about that later. But, I mean, Pham, amazing game by Pham. 3-for-5 with 2 runs. Myers, 2-for-4. I mean, they've been kind of hit or miss this series, but when they've been on, they've been doing phenomenal. Revis struggled going 0-for-3. Profar, we'll talk about him soon, 0-for-3. But, I mean, Kim, Cronenworth, and Machado, those 3 guys took care of all 7 of our RBIs in this game. So those guys were on that bases loaded clearing double by Manny. It was awesome. But like you said, Crismat was absolutely phenomenal this game, going 3 innings. And a lot of the time, we've been seeing him pitch a lot of innings, kind of as an innings eater in blowout games. But this was just an awesome appearance from him. Like you said, MVP of the game. I totally agree with that. He kept us in the game, kept the game tied. And of course, only allowed that 1 hit, struck out 3 in 3 innings. And I mean, he's just been awesome for most of, if not all, the season. But yeah, Camarena, I mean, I did not know who he was when he came up. I don't know if many Padres fans did. I did not, honestly. But cool to see the Cathedral Catholic alum pitch on the San Diego Padres. Like you said, that first inning was good. Came out for that 3rd inning and ended up struggling. But good to see. It was awesome to see him pitch in his hometown. And then Melanson with his 20th save of the year. That was cool. Padres, 7 runs, 3-for-13 with runners in scoring position. Not the best, but we were able to get the big hits when we needed it. Awesome from Kim coming back to the dugout. I mean, just watching him do the Gangnam style dance. I mean, you saw that live. That must have been awesome. But just Snell, Tatis hyping him up when he came back. That was awesome. They're always in a great mood. I know Snell has not been pitching great on the road, but he's a great guy to have in the clubhouse. And of course, Tatis as well, but Tatis and Snell, they have a lot of fun, and they're one of the reasons why this team is the most fun, most exciting in the league.
Right, and you talked about the 3 extra base or the 3 base hits with runners in scoring position. Those 3 were the Cronenworth home run, the Machado double, and then the Kim home run. So those 3 hits, they cashed in for the 7 runs every other time they were outs. And the Padres, they started Jerickson Profar in center field. And listen, I mean, this Jerickson Profar thing in the outfield, it's just not working. Like, he sucks in center. There's no other way around it. And he's not seeing the ball well at the plate. Stop playing him in center field. Either find someone else who can play center field, like Jorge Mateo, Ryan O'Grady, you know, maybe, I don't know, throw Kim out there. Like, just stop playing Profar in center field. It's ugly. Maybe put Pham out there and put someone else on left. Just stop putting Profar in center. Like, he's awful out there. It's painful to watch. He's also not doing well at the plate, which doesn't make putting him in center field worth it at all. Because if you're a center fielder, you're not hitting the ball well, at least you're good in the field. Cannot say that about Jerickson Profar. So He needs to not be playing center field. And then the final game of the day, the Padres only scored one inning, but they made it count. Will Myers hit a double down the line with two runners on in scoring position. And sorry, he hit a triple down the line and with two runners in scoring position in the third inning. And when they threw the ball to third, it got away and Will Myers ran home. And thankfully they did throw that ball away, because if Will Myers did not score there, this game would have been tied after the eighth inning. Denelson Lamet, five innings pitched, didn't allow any runs. He struck out seven guys while allowing just a couple of hits, only four hits. But I would like to see him go a little bit more than those 81 pitches and go those five innings. You know, after bullpen day, you don't want to have Lamet only going five innings and getting some more innings from that bullpen, because they've been busy a lot. Tim Hill, Craig Stammen each came in through a scoreless inning. Craig Stammen had to roll a double play there in the seventh inning to get out of it. But if Eric Hosmer just stretches just a little bit, they get one out there. As we've mentioned several times before, Eric Hosmer, not a great fielding first baseman, and he didn't stretch for a ball, and he caught it behind the bag. It's really confusing there. It almost cost the Padres a run. In the eighth inning, Emilio Pagan struggled. 22 pitches, only nine strikes. And when they were strikes, the Reds were hitting them hard. He led two hits, walked a guy, two earned runs. And fortunately, those were the only earned runs that the Padres allowed. Mark Melanson came in for the ninth. He did walk a guy, but he also recorded a strikeout. And he got his 21st save of the season. So after he blew the save in game one, he was able to pick up two saves after that with, you know, limited stress. So good job for Mark Melanson there. They certainly attacked him. They were attacking early in the count. And then you saw that in his third appearance, he was kind of, you know, nibbling more around the zone and got some weak contact. Did walk a guy, but he looked a lot better in this third game. You got any thoughts on this last game?
Yeah, I mean, of course, only scored those three runs in the third inning on that Myers triple, but scored Hosmer, scored Manny, and then Myers scored on an error, but that was really all we had in this game. 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Got out, hit 8-7, but Reds did have some tough errors. But, I mean, great start by Lamet. I mean, I know he didn't go deep, but five innings, shutout with seven Ks. That's what I expect to see from Lamet. And come playoff time, when he's going farther in the games, even if we have Lamet going four, Weathers going four, that's a lethal combination right there. And I do love seeing those two guys together. Come playoff time, we might see something different. Depends how Snell does for the rest of the year. That will be something to look at if he bounces back. Of course, we're not at the All-Star break yet, but the second half, Snell will need to pitch on the road. As you said in the last episode, he cannot pitch on the road. So, I mean, those three guys, that'll be very interesting to see. We still have a lot of time, of course, until playoffs. But Lamet was phenomenal today. Tim Hill looks great. Stammen getting out of that jam. And then, I mean, Pagan kind of making it interesting. And then Melanson allowing the allowing a walk for the tying run on base in the ninth. Was able to get out of it. We held the Reds to 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They left nine guys on base. And, I mean, not the prettiest game. Grisham went 0-for-4. It was, in my opinion, weird to see Pham out of the lineup after doing great for the series. Had Profar on left, and he went 0-for-4. I don't know if I was missing something with Pham or if we just gave him the day off. But I know it's Sunday. Sunday's when a lot of guys get the day off, especially before the big series. Three against the Dodgers upcoming, of course. We will get to that later. But in my opinion, it's kind of weird seeing Pham out of this lineup. I know we were going for a sweep. But, I mean, I know this was a four-game series and you like to give guys rest, but Pham was hitting hot. Profar has not been. And he went 0-for-4 today in left field for Pham. So, interesting decision there. Nothing much to look at. Of course, just to get him a day off is always big. But not the strongest game by the Padres, but four-game sweep, I'll take it.
Yeah, this was the Padres' first four-game sweep since 2011 when they swept the Florida Marlins. And if you listen to the broadcast of either the radio or the television broadcast, they made sure to hammer home Florida Marlins, because if you follow baseball, not just the Padres, you know that they are now the Miami Marlins. So it's been that long since the Padres completed a four-game sweep. Didn't exactly have many teams that were, you know, like good enough to get four-game sweeps. It's hard to beat the same team four times, but Padres, they were able to do it. And if any team was going to be able to do it, it was certainly this Padres team. But for it to come against a really hot team like the Cincinnati Reds was really surprising to me. And certainly happy. But Bobby, like we mentioned on the episode previewing the series, the bullpen was something the Padres could take advantage of. And we saw in the first three games, they hammered the bullpen in game one after Wade Miley left, getting the four runs in the ninth inning. In game two, they scored a ton of runs after the starter was removed from the game. And then in game three, getting the winning runs off of Heath Hembree from Ha Sung Kim. Game four, they didn't get any runs off the bullpen, but great series from the Padres against the bullpen nonetheless. So, yes. And you talked about Tommy Pham getting the day off. He came in, got a pinch hit double for the Padres later in the game. So, obviously, that was just a day off for Tommy Pham, which I personally thought it was weird, if I'm being completely honest, because he was swinging a hot bat. And to me, the last thing you want to do to someone who's swinging a hot bat is give them the day off going into a really important series, because normally I'm all for day offs. I've said this several times on the podcast, give the guys their days off. But it felt like a really weird time considering how well Tommy's been swinging the bat. And if you don't let him swing and see live pitching for that day, he could go into a funk. Now, I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Tommy. It was really good to see him come off the bench and get a double, because that's exactly what happened. But it was an interesting off day. The Padres, they gave Trent Grisham an off day the day before, and then they double switched out Profar because he did horrible, and they put Grisham back in. But really interesting from the Padres to give him an off day. But he didn't end up having the entire day off. Someone who else did not play for the Padres on Sunday was Fernando Tatis Jr. He left with an injury. Jace Tingler said after the game that Tatis was feeling good. He was in day-to-day situation. Tatis was on the steps in the dugout in the eighth inning with a helmet in his bat. So that meant that if the next two Padres got on base, he was going to go in and pinch it for the pitcher spot. But unfortunately, I believe it was Ha Sung Kim in the seventh spot. He did not get on base, so Fernando Tatis Jr. didn't play. And then post-game, Jace Tingler said that Tatis will be starting on Monday night against the Dodgers. So that is fantastic news for the Padres. They will be getting Fernando Tatis back in lineup. Although Ha Sung Kim did very good while replacing Fernando Tatis, which of course is a great sign to see. You have any other notes on the series before we do our Devil and Wildcats of the week?
Yeah, just one thing about Jesse Winker. I know a lot of guys coming into this, a lot of Padres fans, Padres Twitter, were saying, Jesse Winker, future Padre, you could take that left field spot. I don't know what you think. Of course, he's been having a great year, but with Pham heating up, I mean, it's a decision that Perella will have to make, but Pham's been hitting well, hitting great, getting on base, and playing the kind of baseball that Padres fans want to see. So if you have any take on that, we'd love to hear it.
The Padres aren't going to get Winker because, one, Winker has years of control, and he's playing too well. And he's playing for a team that's winning baseball games right now. Like I mentioned, the Reds, they came into the series winning six straight. They're above 500. They were just outside of the playoff race. They were only a game behind the Padres coming into the series. Now, if the Reds continue to decline, I would love to have Jesse Winker in the Padres lineup. I don't see a place where it makes sense for the Padres because Pham's hitting the ball well. Will is starting to hit the ball well. And with Trent Grisham in the outfield, it just doesn't make sense. I don't see where we put Winker. Obviously, it's never bad to have enough good options out there in the outfield, but it just doesn't make sense. But like I said, I would love to have Winker in a Padres uniform because he has been so good, and he had a pretty good series for the Reds. Certainly was better than Castellanos in the series, who entered the series with the most hits in the National League. So very, very talented hitter, and he's a ton of fun to watch. With that, we're now done recapping the series against the Reds. So we're going to do our Devil and Wildcat of the week. This is, of course, Devils Talking Padres, as Bobby and I are Sun Devils. And Sun Devil John Rahm just won the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines Golf Club, which is, of course, in La Jolla, California. So shout out to John Rahm. But the Devil and Wildcat of the week, the Devil of the week goes to a player on the Padres who played well these past couple of series, or it's normally two, but this episode is going to be three. And the Wildcat of the week, which, of course, is the University of Arizona Wildcats, goes to a player who struggled, what they could do to get better, and why they're struggling. So I have the Devil of the week this week. And last week, it was Tommy Pham. Well, I'm going to double up on that. It's going to be Tommy Pham again. Tommy has been incredible for the Padres. He's been getting extra base hits. He's been drawing walks. And he's been setting the table at the top of the lineup. Fernando Tatis has now been batting second the past couple of games. And guess what? It's been working. It's almost like I know what I'm talking about on here. But Tommy's been incredible in this past series against the Reds. Four out of his last six at-bats were extra base hits, and you got a couple of other extra base hits in there as well. Played well at Coors. Tommy's been looking a lot better in the field. You really love to see it. I've said several times, glad to have been wrong on Tommy Pham when I'm saying that I don't think he should be playing as much. He hasn't impressed me. I'm glad to be wrong on that. Tommy keeps proving me wrong, and it's good to see because Tommy, of course, adds a layer to that lineup that is vital.
Dom, great pick. I know I mentioned this in the last one after, or the last Devil Wildcat, when Tommy Pham was our Devil of the Week. Before that, he was a Wildcat, and I said, I hope we can see him on Devil. And look at Tommy Pham, back-to-back Devils of the Week. I just wish he could hear this, wish he could see this. Tommy, if you hear this, shout out to you. I'm loving what I'm seeing from you right now. But great pick. He's been hitting the ball. He's been getting on base, and it's really been doing a lot for this Padres lineup. For me, my Wildcat of the Week is Jerickson Profar. Like you said, cannot play center field. Please never play center field. But he just really struggled in these last two series against the Reds and the Rockies. Against the Reds, he only had one hit in that first game on Thursday, went hitless the last three games, and just very tough series to watch from him at the plate. Was not even drawing walks, did not draw any walks in the series. And he's a guy who draws walks, can get on base, and that's a lot of time how he can get on base. But just wasn't drawing walks, wasn't even striking out. He didn't strike out once against the Reds, but just wasn't getting great contact on the ball. Struggling with his discipline at the plate, wasn't drawing any walks, but good to see him not strike out. But in the Rocky series, he went 2-for-8. I mean, that's 250 right there. Not the worst thing ever. But again, no walks in that series either. One walk in that series. Pardon me. But I mean, he just hasn't been hitting the ball hard, hitting it well, and just getting on base really. So, I mean, coming into the season, I loved bringing Profar back. He was great at the end of last season. And he knew that even after having that end of last year on a short year, that he could get more money somewhere else. And he came back possibly not knowing we wouldn't have a DH, and we did not. And he knew that he'd have a bench spot. So I did love bringing him back, but he's really been struggling this year, hitting 214 right now. And it's just been tough to watch him at the plate. Hopefully he can turn around it, draw some more walks, hit the ball harder, and just turn around for us.
Yeah. And I don't know if Jerickson Profar could have got more money elsewhere. I mean, he got $21 million. And considering the fact that he really only had like a good 30 game stretch, but I mean, he's the utility guy and that's the role that he plays. And I don't know why the Padres just keep throwing him out in center field. Cause I think that him playing horrible defense out there has kind of derailed his confidence. And he certainly hasn't looked the same ever since he's had to play out in center field during that long stretch where Trent Grisham was on the injured list. And then in essence, he was starting almost every day and the Padres offense just took a huge decline. Then you jump back here. Trent Grisham comes back. He's not playing center field and the Padres offense is starting to do a lot better. There's multiple things that have made the Padres offense a lot better. I think Profar playing less, Tatis in the two spot, Trent Grisham coming back. Those are the things that have made the Padres offense better. I still like Jerickson Profar. I like him for what he is. He's not an everyday outfielder. He's certainly not a center fielder. And I don't know where the Padres find a center field option. I really think Brian O'Grady can play center field. We've seen from his highlights in Cincinnati and from his stats there that he plays a good outfield. So I don't know why they're not putting him in center field as that option. But the Padres are still holding on to Jorge Mateo and putting O'Grady down in the minors. So it'll be interesting to see how the Padres maneuver the trade deadline to see backup center field or whatnot, because I don't think having just Trent Grisham, who's had some injuries this year, is going to be valuable, because you don't want him playing every single day for the rest of the season because you want him healthy for the postseason. So I agree with you on Jerickson Profar being the Wildcat of the Week, and I thought you did a good job. We now welcome in Joey Vaca, friend of mine from ASU Sports Journalism major and a resident of Los Angeles. So he is, of course, a Dodgers fan. We don't hold that against him because he's on this podcast to give us some insight about the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers currently sitting in front of the Padres in second place in the NL West. Those damn Giants, they won't go away. And I think that both Padres and Dodgers fans are very frustrated with the fact that they're kind of in the way of what was supposed to be a really good race at the top of the NL West, but it's making it a little bit more competitive. Joey, thank you for coming on to Devils Talking Padres. How have you been lately?
Thanks so much for having me on. I've been doing well. I'm excited to be back. I've been on once before, so I'm happy to come back on and talk some Dodgers on your Padres podcast.
Yes, the last time we had you on, the Dodgers took 2 out of 3 from the Padres in San Diego. So we'll see if anything changes on that endpoint. We're just going to have Joey talk about the Dodgers today. And then I will, of course, have my conversation with Bobby and talk about the Dodgers and that series myself. But wanted to get some extra Dodgers insight because I can't catch every Dodgers game. So the 3 starting pitchers that are projected for the Dodgers are Julio Urias, Clayton Kershaw, and Trevor Bauer. I mean, that's as good as you're going to get. The Padres are lucky enough to be avoiding Walker Buehler in this series. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, kills the Padres every single time because he's, of course, a really good pitcher. But Urias, Kershaw, and Bauer, how have those guys been doing lately for the Dodgers?
So one major headline has been Urias because not only was he dominant on the world stage in the playoffs last year, but he comes in extremely dominant. I'm pretty sure he's leading the National League or tied for the National League in wins. He's holding a 9-2 record, but him alone, I think he's got 8 RBIs on the season, which is more than 29 staffs combined. So Julio Urias swinging the bat has kind of been something that pitchers, opposing pitchers, have to think about. So that's going to be interesting to see in the first game of the series. You obviously got Kershaw. There's history there, but there's also a history of not giving him run support this season. So one thing to think about is Austin Barnes always catches for Clayton Kershaw. But when you put in Austin Barnes as a catcher, you take out Will Smith, someone who's kind of burst onto the scene these past few seasons, got called up in 2019, and he's been electrifying on offense. And then, of course, we know what we're getting with Trevor Bauer, but these past few outings haven't quite been the same. He got roughed up by the Rangers and then kind of bounced back against the Diamondbacks. All across the board, though, despite the injury to Dustin May, Dodgers starting pitching has been extremely dominant and a pretty solid bullpen, but it's tough because they've been going through stretches of inconsistency. And I think that's just due in part to, you know, a lot of injuries throughout the entire team. It's been hard to find one set rhythm.
Yeah. And I find a lot of these guys in the Dodgers bullpen, they have really good numbers. And then there's a lot of guys that don't have as many innings in there, and those guys haven't been as good. So I'm seeing what you're talking about with the rhythm part, but the main guys you're going to see coming out of this bullpen for the Dodgers are the 5 guys that have over 20 innings for them: Kenley Jansen, Blake Treinen, Jimmy Nelson, David Price, and Victor Gonzalez. The highest ERA out of those guys is David Price at 3.57. So very good top of the bullpen. So guys that are going to be pitching later in the games in the more high leverage situations. Do you have any notes on any of those guys? Or
one
anything?
Thing I want to talk about is Kenley Jansen. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about him severely falling off in terms of dominance. I mean, he was at his peak probably in 2017. Extremely dominant, went to the All-Star game. And then after that World Series, he's had heart issues and hasn't quite looked the same. Well, this year, he's looked extremely dominant. And one thing that's going to be interesting is that the Dodgers call on Kenley Jansen in this series, which is going to be an extremely high-pressure situation. Is he going to be able to answer the call like he has been all season? Or is the pressure of this series in this moment going to rock him?
And Kenley, he's had his fair share of really dominant games against the Padres. He's also had his games where he just kind of looks lost in the Padres, who see him a lot because, of course,
yeah,
he's in to close a lot of games out against the Padres because the Dodgers typically have the better upper hand against the Padres, and he's been a closer for a really long time. So it's always interesting when Kenley comes into the game because he'll either come in and strike out 2 guys, 1, 2, 3, or it's going to be shaky for him. So I think that's definitely something to look out for in that series. A lot of other guys here in the bullpen. Knebel, he's on the injured list. He was off to a shaky start. Brusdar, same with him as well. He did not look good in either of his outings against the Padres. Mm-hmm. Scott Alexander, he's been off to kind of a shaky start, but he's on the injured list as well. But I look at some of these other guys, Dennis Santana, Garrett Clevenger. Those are a couple of guys that you could also be seeing out of the
bullpen. So they recently just dealt Santana, I believe, to the Rangers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I do see that. He's on the Rangers now that I've clicked on his profile. He struck out Tatis.
Got innings in that first series in San Diego, and he had some very important moments. Yeah. Like, especially the strikeout of Tatis.
Yes. I remember that. I also remember Pham got the double against him in game 3. But
yeah, that's someone that you're not going to see, though, this time around. And that's what's interesting. So there's someone who has a big moment in the first series, and there's just been no real consistency, and that's obviously difficult to overcome. So we rely heavily on those starting pitchers, but you know, if something goes wrong, the bullpen's carried their own, but the lack of consistency has definitely showed itself in some moments this season as a whole. So we're hoping, obviously, that that's not going to be the case on the Dodgers side of things.
Got it. So let's talk about the Dodgers lineup for a little bit. Three of the Dodgers' best bats are on the injured list right now. Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, and most recently, Max Muncy as well. Those are three, obviously, really talented left-handed bats that surely the Padres will be happy to not be missing. Who are some guys, and I know a name that you're going to mention here, who have replaced those guys and are producing for this Dodgers lineup?
Well, so one thing to keep note of is if all goes to plan, we might see the likes of Max Muncy and Cody Bellinger in this series. Corey Seager, too, he's ahead of schedule, but I don't think not for this series, but he's coming back sooner than expected, hopefully. The addition of Albert Pujols, for some reason, was not as well received as people might think amongst Dodger fans. I think initially people thought that the Dodgers are going to have to pick up that $30 million for his last season of his contract, but it turns out they're only paying him something like $400,000. And he's actually contributing. I mean, he's been a bat in the lineup that's produced. He hit a home run today. It's Sunday. They played the Diamondbacks. So that's definitely been an addition that not only is exciting, but that's someone that the clubhouse can really welcome in and, you know, value that veteran presence. That's something that they can feed off of. And then the fact that he's actually contributing, scoring, you know, bringing in guys. And he's said, too, that he's willing to take on any role, pinch hitter, starter, whatever the need be. So that's obviously been exciting. Mookie Betts is always someone to keep your eye on. And just the thing is, he hasn't quite found his rhythm this season. Sort of been a little banged up, dealing with a bad back, tightness, things like that. So you never know when he's just going to burst onto the scene and go on a tear. So you always got to keep an eye on him. And then obviously, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, Will Smith, he's been on a little bit of a hot streak, but with Kershaw pitching in the middle, you're going to see some awesome Barnes too.
Yeah.
Gavin Lux too is a bat who's come on as of late.
I was going to ask you about Gavin Lux, but yes, I'm very well aware of the offensive powerhouse that is Will Smith, because he is on five out of my six fantasy teams. Made sure to draft him, and he does not disappoint. But yeah, I mean, you talk about Albert Pujols, and he's always been someone who, back when he was on the Cardinals in the National League, just absolutely haunted the Padres. So it's going to be really awkward being at Petco Park this week for me and seeing him in a Dodgers uniform, and that's going to suck. And I'll clap for him because he's a legend, but I'll be booing him as soon as he starts rounding the bases. Mookie Betts, you said he's not having a great year, and obviously compared to what he's done in the past, this isn't. But he still has an OPS plus of 130, so 30% better than average, according to his OPS, which is pretty nuts. And then Chris Taylor is a guy I wanted to ask about. He's had a great year, and he's been a utility guy. He's played some second base. He's played some short. He's also played in the outfield with guys like Bellinger being on the injured list. Mookie Betts missing some time. AJ Pollock, you know, he's been a little inconsistent out there in left field. So how important has Chris Taylor been to the Dodgers?
When we sent away guys, not sent away, they left, guys like Kike Hernandez and Jock Peterson, you oftentimes forget how deep the Dodgers have been for so long. And of course, you bring guys up through your system, but having a player like Chris Taylor is so valuable because, like you said, being able to insert him into so many different places, we've had injuries riddle our outfield. You could put Chris Taylor in there. When Corey Seager goes out, Gavin Lux has to move to the everyday shortstop. You have a guy like Chris Taylor who can play second base. So not only is he a massive bat in the lineup, but his defense all across the field is stellar. Speaking of defense, I think you remember something about Chris Taylor and the Padres last season when he throws out, I think it was Machado at the plate.
It was Grisham.
Okay. So, and that was in left field. He gets time at center field. He can play shortstop. He can play second base. I mean, this guy can do it all on defense. And then what he brings to the table in the lineup, he can hit anywhere in the order and do damage. I don't know what to say. I mean, he's one of the most valuable players to this roster because he's able to plug so many holes.
Yeah, he's definitely a player that I respect a ton. And certainly looking forward to this offseason when his contract with the Dodgers expires and seeing whether or not the Dodgers will eat a bullet and pay him a lot of money or to see if he goes elsewhere, because I know the Dodgers would love to keep him around.
Yeah.
All right, definitely. Joey. Dodgers are coming off of a sweep of the Diamondbacks, which, I mean, considering where the Diamondbacks right now, isn't that, you know,
great of news, but it's still a sweep. And the Padres are coming off of the sweep of the Reds, who came into the series winning six straight. What are your expectations for the Dodgers?
I'm expecting them to, you know, keep things going offensively. The offense has looked pretty sharp as of late, but what's going to be the key is, I guess, can the starters go deep? Because if we need to go to the bullpen early, obviously San Diego's proven to be a pretty dangerous lineup. So we're going to need our starters to eat up innings, because with the inconsistencies in the bullpen and a lineup as dangerous as San Diego's, I think that's what's going to be the key. Trying to see if we can push it to the seventh, that's probably going to be how we overcome this very dangerous lineup over three games.
Yes, I look forward to being at two of these games, and I look forward to texting you throughout the series.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and these games are going to be fun. I know you're at the reopening of LA, right?
That's right.
What did they call it?
Reopening day.
Yeah, reopening day. It's very clever. The Padres called it San Diego's opening day, and I thought that was cool too. So you've been there with a live atmosphere, which obviously here in Southern California, they haven't had to have. And I know that Dodgers fans will be out there in full force at Petco. It should be less than what it's been in the past, now with the Padres actually, you know, not sucking. So it should be an exciting three-game series, and I hope that both teams just stay healthy and whatever else happens. Because
definitely agreed.
If it's anything like the first seven games were of the season series, these three games should be very exciting. Thank you for coming on to Devils Talking Padres.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Back to Bobby and Dom. Let's talk about this upcoming series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Three-game set. The Dodgers, they, of course, are still one of the best teams in baseball. They're coming off a sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks, but, I mean, the Diamondbacks have now lost 17 straight games, so not a very impressive sweep if you're Dodgers, but they handled their business against a bad team, and they could have very easily looked forward to the series against the Padres, but they did not. So Dodgers currently sitting at 44-27 at 17 games above 500. They're a game and a half behind the Giants, and they're 3.5 games in front of the Dodgers. So no matter the outcome of the series, the Padres will remain in third place. The Padres, however, after the series, they have jumped the Chicago Cubs. So they are now back in the playoff picture, which is good, because the Padres at a brief moment were out of the playoff picture. We're not halfway through the season, so it doesn't really matter yet, but it's good to know that even if the Padres and the Cubs match the rest of the season, the Padres will be in the playoffs. So that is good news. But upcoming series against the Dodgers, we talked about it earlier. The Padres, they pushed back to Nelson Lamet a day and had a bullpen day on Saturday. So the starting rotation for this upcoming series for the Padres could be Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, and Joe Musgrove, home at Petco Park. What do you think about those three guys going up against the Dodgers?
I mean, these are the three guys I want to throw out against this lineup in this series. I believe two games are on ESPN. Two games on ESPN. We're each throwing out our top guys, and this will be a good one. I mean, Darvish struggled in his last start against the Rockies. It was at Coors. Not worried about that at all. Snell, at home. This is big for him. Against the Dodgers lineup, at home, 1.65 ERA. On the road, 10.36 ERA. And this would be a huge, huge start for him, a huge start to get his confidence back. Pitching at home, of course, at Petco against this Dodgers lineup will be tough, but he really struggled in his last start. I mean, that was at Coors also. He was hit or miss in those two games against the Mets, but this will be a huge one for Snell. Musgrove coming off 7 scoreless against the Reds in his last start. Back-to-back quality starts in his two against the Mets. So he's pitching great ball. His last 5 starts have been very good. There's two against the Mets were his worst among the other ones. Other than starts against the Mets, his last 4 appearances, no earned runs. So he's been pitching great, striking guys out. His last start against the Reds only struck out 2, but he's been looking phenomenal. And this series will be just a good one. I'm very excited to announce I will be there on Wednesday. Hopefully going to get tickets, but I still plan on it. That'll be very fun to see Joe Musgrove on a Wednesday night at Petco. The first game, I will be inside Petco since 2019. I'm driving back either Monday or Tuesday. So very excited to see Musgrove versus Bauer. That'll be a very high intensity one. And it'll be fun to watch Trevor Bauer in person.
Yeah, you'll get Bauer. There are tickets still available. They're in the upper deck, and you're probably going to have to pay like $45 for him. But
yeah,
for a Padres-Dodgers game, that's not too bad. Yeah,
I think these are the three guys you want at home. Blake Snell at home, of course, is what you want, not Blake Snell on the road. Unfortunately, pushing Snell back means that he's only going to make one start on this 10-game homestand at home. His next start will be on the road. He's going to have two starts on the upcoming road trip. So once again, not putting those guys in the best position to succeed, but you also put the Padres rotation in the best position to succeed, getting the top three guys going. So kind of mixed right there, but getting Snell at home against the Dodgers will be good. And Musgrove's last start against the Dodgers did not go well. It was the Sunday night baseball game up at Dodger Stadium, and he did not last very long. It was just super inefficient. He looked very uncomfortable up on the mound. So hopefully pitching at home in front of Padres fans, he can be a lot better, and going up against Trevor Bauer, that should be an entertaining game. The three starters the Dodgers will be throwing out at the Padres: Julio Urias, Clayton Kershaw, and Trevor Bauer. I mean, those are three of good pitchers as you're going to face in a three-game series. Obviously, the Padres have faced Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler, and then Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler, and Dustin May in the other two series against them. And the Padres have also seen Burns and Woodruff twice. So this is nothing new, seeing good pitching, but the Padres, for the most part, have somewhat struggled against some of these great pitchers. They've been able to win the games, but they've been low scoring. It'll be very interesting to see how they fare against Urias, Kershaw, and Bauer. The Padres are yet to face Urias this year, so that'll be interesting. What are your thoughts on facing those three guys?
I mean, like you said, we've been facing a lot of tough pitchers all year. We've seen those the 1-2 punch against the Brewers. We've seen all the Dodgers combinations possible. First time we'll see Urias this year, and he's been looking great. I mean, he's had really only two bad starts all year. He's been going deep into games. Mostly in May, he was going deep, but he hasn't had a bad start in about 3 weeks. His last three in the month of June have been very good, going 5 or 6 innings every single time. Hasn't allowed more than 300 runs. He's allowed 1, 3, and 2, respectively, in his last three starts. Or sorry, 2, 3, 1 in his last three starts, earned runs respectively. But he's been looking great. Kershaw, he had a very tough start 2 weeks ago in Atlanta, but that's a tough lineup. His last two starts went 6 innings, 2 earned runs, and 0 earned runs. So he's been pitching a lot better ball his last two starts. Trevor Bauer just dominated the Diamondbacks. 7 innings, shutout with 8 Ks last Friday. And that was, I mean, start after getting absolutely destroyed by the Rangers. 6 1/3, 4 runs, 9 hits. He got hit hard, but I mean, this is a tough series. Of course, everyone knows how good the Padres lineup is, but this Dodgers lineup, this Dodgers pitching staff, it's tough. So it'll be very fun to see packed crowd, intense crowd. I expect to see a lot of Padres fans there, and unfortunately a lot of Dodgers fans, but that's how it has been. That's how it will continue to be. And it'll just be very intense 3-game series.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it could ever really matter how much or how bad the Dodgers are doing. There's always going to be a lot of them there just because they're a big fan base, and they, of course, going to Dodger Stadium sucks because, one, it's not a very nice stadium anymore. 2, the inconvenience factor, it's super inconvenient to get there. And 3, who wouldn't want to attend a baseball game at Petco Park? And there's just a lot of Dodgers fans living in San Diego or in Orange County or nearby areas. So there's always going to be a lot of Dodger fans. They love their team. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to argue that. They're always going to fill Petco Park. Urias, in 21 career innings against the Padres, 2.08 ERA. We all know how Kershaw's fared against the Padres, and we all know that Bauer, the Padres, they've tended to get the best of him, and that, of course, is dating back to his days in Cleveland and in Cincinnati, and he's, of course, a really talented pitcher who is their best strikeout pitcher so far on the year. If you look at the Dodgers' pitchers' numbers, he isn't quite their leader in innings, or at least it's not by that much. But if you look at the strikeout numbers, Kershaw is 104. Bauer has 119 in 95 innings. So he's going to strike out a lot of guys, but you're going to have a chance to hit him. He's been super prone to the long ball this year, 14 home runs. So that's how you're going to beat Bauer with only 26 earned runs, 14 home runs. We remember the Cronenworth home run off him. We remember the 2 Fernando Tatis Jr. home runs off him. So that'll be very interesting to see in this series.
I already talked about it with Joey. We talked about their bullpen, how they've really got five key guys that they're going to lean on. And that, of course, includes David Price, who's been the worst of those five guys. Outside of that, bullpen's been really inconsistent. And then their lineup, it's very deep, still kind of versatile, but they're going to be missing three left-handed bats, Max Muncy, Corey Seager, and Cody Bellinger. I know that Cody Bellinger will not be returning. I know that Corey Seager is still going to be out for a little bit. Joey said that Max Muncy could be returning, and I don't think that Max Muncy is going to be returning soon. His IL stint began on the 12th, so if he, of course, returns then after 10 days, he is eligible on the 22nd, which would be Tuesday, but I don't think that's going to happen. So it says, according to LA Times, could return early in week. So he could return soon. I don't know. We'll see. They're on the injured list to begin the series. That's what we know. You got any thoughts on their lineup or anything?
I mean, just one thing. Hate to see injuries, but on the Padres side, they have to take advantage of that. And the Dodgers do have a next man up mentality like a lot of good teams do. Padres do as well, but the Dodgers, they've had a lot of injuries this year, and they've been sticking with that next man up mentality. They have a lot of guys who aren't Dodgers fans wouldn't know that well, unless if you're just a casual baseball fan. But there's a lot of guys here: Matt Beaty, Zach McKinstry, Sheldon Noyce. I mean, those guys. Those are some guys who, I mean, they've been struggling this year. Noyce has been; he's been hurt a lot as well too. But I mean, Turner, he's been playing a lot. Chris Taylor, Mookie Betts. None of these guys are hitting over 300. I mean, they have three guys with double-digit home runs, and that's Justin Turner, Max Muncy, and Chris Taylor. So this is a very good lineup. Of course, with those guys hurt, it changes a lot for the series, but we didn't see Cody Bellinger earlier this year, so still will not be playing. Wish him the best, of course, recovering soon, but Padres got to take advantage with these left-handed hitters out, and Snell, hopefully, he could have a great pitching day.
Yeah, I think Snell's really the wild card. Is he going to continue success at home, or is he going to look like how he has been on the road? I got no other notes about this series. I think it's going to be very entertaining. I already talked about Chris Taylor with Joey. I think that's a player to really watch out for. You got anything else, or are we good to wrap it up?
Just can't wait to be back at Petco on Wednesday, and go Padres in for a very exciting series.
Yes, Bobby will be on Wednesday. I will be there Monday and Tuesday. It's going to be fantastic. This is my first time going to a Padres-Dodgers game since 2018. They're a lot of fun. I love riling up the Dodgers fans just because they're super sensitive and they can't take jokes. But now that the Padres are good, I know that they're afraid. And I know that they you got to earn their respect. And the Padres are still working on that. Like I said, no matter what happens this series, the Padres will be in third. The Dodgers could pass the Giants, but I think that we don't want that this series because we, of course, would like to beat the Dodgers. And that, of course, would be lovely. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Devils Talking Padres. As always, follow Bobby and I on Twitter. You can find me at DMster19. You can find Bobby at BobbyMurphy2000. You can find my friend Joey. He came on and talked about the Dodgers on this podcast. You can find him on Twitter at JoeVaca08. Dodgers fan, Lakers fan, Rams fan, big LA guy, sports journalism major at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communications, along with Bobby and I. So we thank him for coming on. You can go ahead and follow him on Twitter if you so please. And with that, it's going to wrap up this episode of Devils Talking Padres. We thank you all for tuning in. We will come back to you on either Wednesday or Thursday with a new episode of Devils Talking Padres, recapping the series against the Dodgers and previewing the upcoming series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, go Padres.